before I met Prabhupada,
Shomrani's
I
class
see that I had no
Houston.
Talent at all.
Cora.
No talent at all. And then I met Srila Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park in 1966 in New York City, where he was chanting with his little bongo drum. He had no mridangam in those days. It was a few months later when Srila Gurudev sent Prabhupada's mridangas, two mridangas. One I broke at the airport that he was going to take to San Francisco, and the other one he left in New York. Okay. So Prabhupada asked one of our godbrothers, what did I do? What talent did they have? And he said I was an artist, although you can see that I actually wasn't. So Prabhupada called me to his room, and he actually gave me a picture done by a Bengali artist of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party at the house of Srivas Thakur. And he asked me to copy that for the temple, make a large version. So he gave me his space down there in the first ISKCON temple. And when I was in the middle of the painting and all the proportions were off, the head was one side, then there was the body of somebody else in front of him, and then his feet were over there. Everything was in the wrong place and the wrong size. The Prabhupada came into the temple room and very encouragingly, and just like with Gurudev, anywhere Prabhupada went, there was a whole bunch of people around him. So all the devotees were gathered around him, and he said, Krishna has sent. In other words, Krishna has sent me, but Krishna had brought me to Prabhupada to save me. But he was very encouraging. And then he offered that I could paint in his quarters, which was the apartment just behind the temple. So I said, but the fumes are going to be very bad. He said, it doesn't matter. And so then I was painting in the first ISKCON Devi room. He had his room, next room, where he was translating, taking prasadam, meeting guests. And there, he gave me the cover of his first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had brought from India, and asked me to paint just the Radhakrishna inside. This, as you know, shows the whole kingdom of God, all the Vaikuntha planets, the material world, all the material universes, and everything. But he just asked me to paint the Radha and Krishna. So as you can see by the next slide, I didn't really know what I was doing. But still he encouraged me. When he was meeting with Indian guests, he would point to this painting and say, she has not made this up, but she is authorized by the higher authorities to paint these pictures. And he would always want to give knowledge in every way that he could. So the knowledge of what God looks like, and also he would always give me a little piece of paper that had the prayer that would go with the painting. Like here, he wrote on a little piece of paper and I copied it onto the painting. Namo Mahavaranyaya. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Nama. Offering obeisances to Krishna, who's the pleasure of the senses, the pleasure of the cows, the pleasure of the Brahmanas and all living entities. Okay. Next. Then, he gave me this particular picture, a very ancient picture of Radha and Krishna, and he asked me to do duplicates of that very large. So this became the main painting just behind his Vyasasana at the 22nd Avenue Temple. And he would bow down to this Radha and Krishna before he would sit on his Vyasasana to give his lectures in the morning and evening. Then he called me to his room, brought me over to his wall, and showed me one picture of Lord Vishnu in the middle and the 10 Leela avatars all around, each one being about that big. And he asked me to do the middle one. And then he took me in his other room, which is his room that he translated in. And he wrote down on one piece of paper the 24 names of the main Vishnu incarnations, who are the predominating deities of the unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And next to their names, he wrote what order of hand symbols they have. Like in their right hand, they would have the club. Somebody would have the club. Upper right hand, lower right hand, the chakra. Lower left hand, the lotus flower, and the upper left hand, the discus. So he wrote 24 hand symbols, 24 names, and I had to make 24 paintings for our first temples. This is Lord Narayana, I think the Hindu says. Then, when I made it, as you can see, the waves look like question marks. The hands look like basketball gloves. The club looks like an ice cream cone. But still, when the painting was completed, again, all the devotees were surrounding Prabhupada, and he said, "Now, who could look at this and say that is not God?" And I thought, yeah, I don't know if I can ever do one that good again, but I'll sure try for him. You know, it's just like those of you who are parents know how to encourage your little baby children. Okay. Then, one of the devotees who was the first editor of the Back to Godhead magazine, Rai Rama, before he joined, he was a comic book writer. So he asked Prabhupada if we could do comics for his Back to Godhead magazines. Prabhupada authorized the Mahajan comic strip. As you know, there are 12 great authorities in Krishna consciousness, like Bhishma, Janaka, and Bali Maharaj. And so Prabhupada guided us through these comic strips for his Back to Godhead magazine. He said they shouldn't dominate the magazine because just like a chutney is just there for taste, but then there's the main meal. So Back to Godhead should be seen as a very grave magazine, very serious with Siddhanta, and then for an extra taste, the comic strips. And then sometimes he would talk about the comic strips in his lectures. How this is the story of Narada and the hunter, where Narada is telling the hunter what's going to happen in his next life. He'll be now eating or killing animals, and then they'll also kill him, as Gurudev often says when he's trying to preach vegetarianism, meat, me eat. Who's ever I'm eating, they will eat me in my next life. So Prabhupada would comment that very good, but try to make the proportions a little better. Okay. Bhishma. And this is 1969. Prabhupada was holding a wedding ceremony in Boston. Okay, next. I wasn't getting married, it was just even I was younger. This is Srila Prabhupada also in the New York Temple back in 1968-69. And in 1969, when Prabhupada was first creating his Krishna book series, at that time there was so much political upsurge in the student community and young people, and everybody wanted a revolution of consciousness. So at that time it was perfect for Srila Prabhupada to come and introduce his books in the Western world. So he wanted everything to come out very quickly. Like every month or so, a book should come out. So he established A and B composers. Composers are composing machines of the pre-computer machines. He had somebody on a 12-hour night shift, one typist on a 12-hour day shift, rather two at night and two in the day. So it's 24 hours. Then he wanted the paintings to come out every 2 days. Each painting would take 6 days, and Bhargava Raj Prabhu would design the composition and put in the first layer, then I would put in the second layer, and Murligar would put in the details. And this went on for a couple of years, actually, by Prabhupada's power, that every 2 days a new painting would come out, first for the Krishna book, then for the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we started Bhagavad Gita that way, and then we split up and did our own paintings once our styles were the same. I copied this was 1968 or 9 in Boston. I simply copied a Brijabasi print of Sitaram, Hanuman, and Lakshman, big for our Boston temple. And then when Srila Prabhupada came to Boston, the only thing I changed was they had Lord Ram in blue and I made him his actual color, grass green. And I came in late to class that day, and there was about 300 devotees in the temple room. And although Prabhupada could have chastised me because I came in the middle of the class, or he had already started, he pointed to the picture so that everybody could hear, and he said, as I came in late through the back door, "Did you do that painting?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You are already in Vaikuntha." Just because of the Vaikuntha. So you can know then that if Prabhupada says something about somebody, there's two kinds of meanings in the scriptures. There's mukhya vritti and gona vritti. The actual literal meaning and the not literal meaning. Like when Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that just as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother when he was boarding the plane, as Padmanabha Maharaj mentioned last night, he thought of his mother, therefore there was some attachment, and therefore he couldn't go to Goloka Vaikuntha, but he went to Ramapriya Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha planet in this material world. So Prabhupada wrote in the purport, similarly, I am weak in so many ways, but if my disciple, any of my disciples, thinks of me when they're going back to Godhead, then I can also go too. Because Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother, and all of a sudden there was another plane, and his mother boarded the other plane, and they both went to Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada wrote, if my disciple would think about me, then I can go with him back to Godhead. So this is called gona vritti meaning. Similarly, when Prabhupada encourages his baby disciples, it's also understood in that category. Okay. Now, this print was on Prabhupada's wall in Boston, in his quarters, and he said, they look just like children here. So he was showing the standard how he wanted his paintings. None of us had been to India yet. We didn't know what anything looked like. So he was gradually putting the impressions in our hearts and minds what he wants Radha and Krishna to look like. And when we began the Krishna book paintings, Prabhupada sent us this particular Brijabasi print, and he said, I want this print in the book. And he said to make the other paintings that we did following this standard and some other Indian prints, Banerjee prints that he sent us. So he was guiding us at every step. We would also send him sketches, just like now we show Gurudev's sketches of all the paintings he orders. And Prabhupada would comment on the sketch and tell us how to develop the painting. Sometimes he would say the sketch is completely bogus and we wouldn't do the painting. Next. And sometimes we would do the painting without sending him a sketch that was completely bogus. And Prabhupada said, you should rip out this picture from every one of my books. Once I did a painting of Rasa Lila, because in Prabhupada's translation of the Krishna book, he wrote that when Radha and Krishna and the gopis were dancing, their hair became loosened and their dresses became loosened. And in Nectar of Devotion, it's stated that as Krishna was growing up, his hair was very long, so long that it looked like he was being embraced by the goddess of fortune. And so he made very long, wild hair in this Rasa Lila. And Prabhupada said, this is bogus. I like the one that Devahuti did, very elegant and dignified. And this one that you did looks just like a hippie plaything, because you're all hippies. So this picture should be ripped out of every one of my books. So sometimes those things happen. Here is Prabhupada at the ISKCON Press. You can see some of the paintings in the background, with Advaita Prabhu, who was in charge of the press, and Prabhupada's looking around, making comments, New York City around 1971 or two, looking at the binding, the covers. Once they presented Prabhupada with a just chapter one of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because we were printing them small books, chapter by chapter, Prabhupada opened it up, the binding split open, and he said, this part will go to hell and that part will go to hell. So Prabhupada guided the devotees through every single part of every single book making. And here they're showing him the pages that are going to be binded. This is Prabhupada lecturing in some country, just to show how he was encouraging and used the paintings, the windows to the spiritual sky. Now, for the Bhagavad Gita paintings, which began in 1971, sometimes, just as with the Krishna book, in the beginning of the Krishna book, before we even had the manuscripts, Prabhupada would dictate the manuscripts. We would get the manuscripts before, obviously before they were published. He ordered us to read them, make the paintings, make the captions. So sometimes he would give a list. He would describe which picture should be painted. And then after a while, when we got used to it, he told us to start picking out the pictures. Same thing for the Bhagavad Gita. The first few pictures were picked out by him. And this one, this very powerful philosophical painting, this description is not in the Bhagavad Gita. You won't find any film script description in the Bhagavad Gita. So this one, he just wrote me in a letter to add this to the Bhagavad Gita paintings. That is, you have a film strip showing a man running. And so, you know, each strip has a different second of the man running. He said, seen separately, it looks like different pictures. But when seen consecutively, on the roll of film, it looks like one picture. It looks like a man running. Similarly, and then you have the top part, it looks like we have one body that's changing. But actually, we have many, many bodies. And Srila Prabhupada quoted the scientist who said that every 7 years we have a totally different body. So this shows how the spirit soul is traveling through the different bodies, from birth to death. Okay. Then Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do the two birds in the tree. One bird, the spirit soul, individual soul, is ravenously eating the fruits of the tree of this body, sometimes apparently sweet, sometimes bitter from the beginning, and sometimes sweet in the beginning and becoming rotten in the end. And the other bird, the beautiful, friendly bird, is the super soul, waiting for that crazy bird to turn to him and be happy. So the analogy is, the man is trying to grab the woman for enjoyment, and Lord Paramatma is just waiting for him to turn to him to be happy. When we were showing him photographs, or sending him photographs, of the Bhagavad Gita paintings as it was becoming completed, Prabhupada would make comments, correct this, change that, that's okay. And when we finished, he said, well, my blessings to you and your godbrothers, congratulations. So he was always chastising, correcting, and encouraging at the same time. This is Srila Prabhupada at an initiation ceremony. You can see all the japa beads hanging on his microphone. And there, when he was in New York, he gave so much guidance for painting the Srimad Bhagavatam pictures. Sometimes he was in the same place as us, and then we would show him sketches personally, and sometimes he was in different countries, and particularly in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Rush Marathon, when we had to do 17 volumes in 2 months. I'm just going to interrupt and jump over to the Gurudev time for a minute, because in Mathura last year, Gurudev, on the roof, he was just walking out of his room and coming downstairs to the second floor to give his class in the temple room. And, you know, the devotees stand there on two lines as he's passing through. So that time he stopped at me and said, the line drawings you did for the Govardhan giant bas reliefs, I want you all to do the paintings for them, and they all have to be done by Kartik. So that means you have a few weeks to do 30 giant-sized bas reliefs. And then we showed, about a couple of weeks later, you can stay here, we showed Gurudev a couple of weeks later, we had 15, all of a sudden there were 15 or 20 artists, cooks, cleaners, all moving from everywhere in Vrindavan to Govardhan. And a few days then they built the big rafters, and we got the paints, we took some pictures with the computer, we showed Gurudev, and then we said, we don't know how it's possible. We're already staying up day and night, but we don't know how it's possible to finish 30 gigantic pictures. He said, if I had given you the order some days earlier, he knew exactly what he was doing. So we said, yeah, our Prabhupada did the same thing. He told us to do paintings, 7 paintings each, in each book, 17 volumes of books in 2 months. He said, yes, I am also Bhaktivedanta, no less. So this one for the first canto, Prabhupada describes in his purport to, and it's also there in the verse, to first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, that the emolument of body and mind, the trying to make the body and mind happy, doesn't make the soul happy, even if you do a very good job of giving all facilities to the body and mind. Just like the lady is cleaning the bird cage. It's a golden bird cage, and she's cleaning it so nicely with the feather duster. But because she's not feeding the captive bird inside, as Prabhupada wrote in his Vyas Puja offering to his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this body is just like a poison shirt, which is meant for the death of the wearer, who is never meant for wearing the shirt. And this body is just like a cage, which is meant for the undoing of the bird, that is the captiveness of the bird. Not that the bird is meant for the upkeep of the cage. The cage is meant for the undoing of the bird, not that the bird is meant for the upkeep of the cage. So here the bird is dead, and she's cleaning the golden bird cage. And at the bottom, we wanted to show somebody who had really good facility for happiness of the body and mind. So we have a king, and he's being fed peeled grapes and being fanned. So we wrote to Prabhupada and asked him, how do we show that the soul is suffering inside? Because at that time, you know, we know that the soul have different forms depending on their relationships. Some souls have forearms if they're Vaikuntha residents. Some souls have Manjari bodies. Some souls have mother and father bodies to Krishna. Some have cowherd boy bodies. So, but at that time, Prabhupada told us to make, whenever we would show the soul, that it would just be like a sparkling star, because that's the potential, like the seed of the soul. Like the seed of a tree doesn't have shape, and then the tree becomes an apple tree or a pine tree. So he said, show the seed of the soul as a sparkling star, and Paramatma sitting next to him. So I asked him, How can I show the seat of the soul unhappy? It doesn't have any mouth or anything. So he wrote back, because we wrote to him, we got 90 letters from him. We wrote so many letters and he would immediately write back, even if he was in India. At that time there was no email. So if he was in India, you know, it would be a week to get there, and we were in America, and a week back. But in 2 weeks, we had a question to him and the answer back, because he would always write very quickly, just as Gurudev usually does, even though they have so many thousands of disciples. So he wrote back that if a man is wearing dirty clothes and his body is all dirty, then you know that he's not taking very good care of himself. You don't have to see it any other way than by the externals. So if you just show the king an anxiety, even though everything is coming to him, that will show that his soul is miserable. Now we're jumping because we want to go on to the modern times with Srila Gurudev. In 1977, Prabhupada had us be ready now for the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam pictures, and he would explain in his Krishna book and 10th canto first volume, and he stayed in his manifest stay in this world until the second or third volume of Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. So for the first volume, he had us do Lord Narayan appearing to Vasudeva and Devaki, and then turning into the baby Krishna, and then Vasudeva carried that baby Krishna to Gokul. Okay, next. And as you can see, under Gurudev's direction, we did the Bhagavad Gita paintings. That was in 1996. From 1992 till 1995, we were living in an institution and sneaking off to see Gurudev. In 1995, some ultimatum came that nobody should see Gurudev, otherwise you go to hell, and you can never come to our institution again. So Gurudev, they said you had a choice. So we told Gurudev, we want to stay with you. And Gurudev cheated us, just as Krishna tried to cheat the gopis by saying, oh, you've come now to see me in the forest? Well, why have you come? Have you come to see the gardens of this beautiful forest? Well, now you've seen the gardens, so now you can go home. Because after all, you do know that the highest position of a chaste wife is to serve her husband. Even if he's lame, toothless, mean and nasty, crippled, still, they should still serve their husband. That's the highest religious duty. So Gurudev told me in 95, if you stay with me, you wouldn't be able to do any good bhajan. I won't be able to supply a place for you or very good bhajan. So you should go back and internally do the seva. But don't get involved with position, management, and money. So then, after 1 year, I kind of realized I did the wrong thing. And then, so I left everything and told Gurudev, okay, now I'm with you full time. And all these years from 1992, and then I said, oh, I realized what you did. Just like, yes, you should serve your husband as the highest religious duty, even if he's lame, nasty, blind, toothless. And Gurudev said, yes, even if he's poor, and even if he's, so he was confirming that he was cheating me and I failed the test. So then the first engagement he gave me, because all these other paintings, the Gornatai, Venugit, this Seva Kunj, the four Manjuris, that was all when I was sneaking off to see him from 92 to 95. Then as soon as I left everything, okay, now I'm fully surrendering, now please engage me. I came for Braj Bhakti. So he said, okay, the first thing to do is paint 11 paintings for my Bhagavad Gita picture, Bhagavad Gita book. I said, what? You were inspiring me all these years for forgetting that Krishna is God and just seeing him as Shyamasundar and developing a relationship with him through Radharani as her maidservant. And now, what you want me to do is the battlefield of Kurukshetra when Krishna is in Dwarka? Because Prabhupada named me Jadarani, which is Krishna, servant of Krishna in Dwarka. So then you gave me the name Shyamarani, because you said Prabhupada inspired you that now I should go towards Vrajabhakti. And now you're having me do Krishna and Kurukshetra? He said, if you paint the Bhagavad Gita paintings, you'll get Vrajabhakti out of that. So what is the moral of the story here? That whatever service we render to Guru, whether it's translating Gita Govinda, or cleaning the schoolroom, or taking care of a sick devotee who has tuberculosis and is coughing up blood and you might get it and die, no matter what the service is that Sri Guru has to do, if we do that, and also chant and hear under his guidance, and he said, even if you're chanting and remembering, if you're criticizing devotees, if you're chanting and remembering Gita Govinda, or Gopi Geet, or Valakus Manjali, and you're criticizing devotees, then you go to hell. But if you're cleaning the schoolroom for the Guru and not criticizing, but working under his direction, then you get Braj Bhakti. Of course, the chanting and remembering has to be there, as I said last night. Okay, so these are the Bhagavad Gita paintings, that is Srila Viswanatha Chakrabarti Thakur, and three other Bhagavad Gita paintings.
Could we bring the paintings today?
I'm sorry?
Could we bring the paintings today?
Okay, well, I'm not going to talk about them in general, and specific, just general now. But just to show where we started from, with Srila Prabhupada, doing paintings for his Gita or small books like Perfection of Yoga. When I first began painting, actually it was 1977. Prabhupada said in the beginning she could not paint, but by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the talent came out. And he quoted Sri Prahlad Maharaj, as Sri Padarani Maharaj did last night. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, and then Iti Pumsarpito Vishnu. One who engages in these nine processes of bhakti, he becomes a very intelligent person. So Guru Prabhupada was saying, from 1966 to 1977, he said in the beginning, or 1976 he said this, in the beginning she could not paint, but by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, all the talent is coming out. And although it wasn't true, he said, and now she is painting with her soul. And in the beginning, when Muralidhar had just joined, though he became the best of the DBT artists, in the beginning, when he first joined, he asked Prabhupada, how can I paint like Jadarani? So Prabhupada said, I have taught her how to paint. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, by chanting. Okay, so this is one of the early paintings for Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada had us do. Next. And this is also for Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Prabhupada had a darshan with all the devotees in 1971 or 72 in New York. At that time he said the art department is the life department and the press department is the soul department of ISKCON. And this also is not there in the first, it is there in the first canto. So he had us paint that, and another one he had us do for the first canto, which took place at this time, was not in the Bhagavatam, the description. But he, in that darshan, he explained what he wanted that picture to be, and you'll find that also in the Bhagavatam. That is, it's the same scene, but Arjun is shooting an arrow. Duryodhana brought him a pillow, and he said, I'm not interested in pillows. He told Arjun to shoot some arrows, and those arrows became his pillow and bedding. And then he told Arjun to shoot the ground And the Ganges water came up from the ground and went right into Bhishma Dev's mouth. Okay. This is Krishna bringing his 16,000 queens to Draupadi to be married. Okay. And this one is for the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. As you know, Lord Brahma came to the door of Krishna's palace in Dwarka, and the servant, the doorman, heard that Brahma wanted to come in. Then he went to tell Krishna, and he came back and said, Krishna wants to know, which Brahma are you? He said, which Brahma? Are there other Brahmas? Oh, just tell Krishna the father of the four Kumaras, four-headed Brahma is here. So then he was allowed in, and when he met with Krishna, he said, are there other Brahmas? I thought I was the only one. So Krishna immediately called for the million-headed Brahmas, the thousand-headed, the hundred-headed. And so how to paint this, we couldn't imagine. So we wrote to Prabhupada and asked. We couldn't imagine anyway, anything. And so therefore we got so many, 90 letters from Prabhupada explaining how to do the paintings. And some of the letters answered 10 questions or 20 questions for 20 different paintings or 10 different paintings, how each painting should be done. For example, in 1970 we were painting the Krishna book volume 2, and we had to do the prayers of the personified Vedas. Lord Garbhadaksha Vishnu is there and the personified Vedas are there. So what did the personified Vedas look like? Having seen so many years of commercials on TVs in my non-devotee days, I thought, well, maybe they're books with hands and legs sticking out of them. So we wrote to Prabhupada and he said, no, they're great sages. They should all look like great sages. Some like clean-shaven brahmacharis, some like Vyasadeva with beard and topknot, but they're all sages. So if we wrote about this, do something that's palatable. Somehow or other, get a lot of heads there. And show our Brahma from our universe very, very tiny. If you can go back for a sec. So you'll find, you see this little tiny, tiny Brahma there. Okay. Where? You have to come close to see.
Here.
Yeah. There. Oh, good. Okay. Now this is the 10th canto, first volume, Krishna's birth ceremony. Not birth ceremony, his getting his fortune told by Garbhacharya. And this is one of the assembly line paintings for the Krishna book. This is Damodar Bandhan Lila. Mother Yasoda is running after Krishna to bind him. And at the end of this, can you go back? At the end of this, because there were so many deadlines, so quickly coming, sometimes the devotees who would take photographs of the paintings would be banging on the door. We'd have the door locked, and me, Murlidhar, and Bharadraj would have, with three arms together, be finishing the cover of the Krishna book. Similarly, they were banging on the door in this one. We had about five artists at the end of this one, somebody painting the flowers, somebody putting the details on the skirts. There was no room for false ego. Though we had it, there was no room for it. And this, as you know, is Krishna revealing his universal form to Mother Yasoda. Then, now we'll show you some paintings that were done after Prabhupada disappeared from our vision and before we met Srila Gurudev for the 11th canto and the later volumes of the 10th canto. This is Markandeya Rishi. As you can tell, the technical ability is increasing here by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. This is Markandeya Rishi chanting so powerfully that lust and greed want to bring him down. So they personally appeared and sent very beautiful celestial dancers and singers to make him forget his bhajan, but he couldn't be swayed, just like Srila Haridas Thakur couldn't be swayed. Okay. Next. And this also is Markandeya Rishi, who got the boon of being able to live for 7 kalpas. So when there was universal devastation, he was just tossed by the waves and wishing he didn't have that benediction. And then he found the only place that was over the water, not a week. And Krishna, as a baby, was lying on a banyan leaf on one of the branches of the banyan tree, sucking his toe in order to taste the nectar that devotees taste by serving the dust of his lotus feet. And for the same reason, for that same taste, he became Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is another for 10th canto of Krishna and his friends imitating the animals. Krishna's imitating the peacock, another is running like a rabbit, another is imitating the swan. Okay. And this one is the first Venugeet painting that I did. The way we got started with Gurudev, we thought, okay, one comes to Gurudev and you just do bhajan. You just chant extra rounds, 32, 48, 64 or more. And there's no outer service, because that's all part of Vaidya Bhakti. And you just get guidance from Gurudev what to read and how to chant. But just for sambandha, just for an exchange, I showed him some of my old slides of the DVT. And when he saw them, he went into his almirah, which was full of many Sanskrit books and also the set of Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he pulled out one, opened it up to Krishna and Jalila, the Radhakund pastimes of splashing. And he said, did you do this? I said, yes. Then he said, come with me to the next room. And in the next room, there was a painting of Sevakunj that was done by an Indian artist under Prabhupada's order. I'm sorry, Gurudev's order. I get the two mixed up because Guru was one. Under Gurudev's order, but he said, I'm so unsatisfied with this. I paid 3,000 rupees for this. And Radha and Krishna look old, everything's out of proportion. Can you do a good one? So that's how that started. And then he said, before he said, come in the next room, he said, can you paint my heart? Which reminds me, we have about 40, I don't know if you call them, they're not booklets, they're just stapled together pages, which we gave out in Badger and in other countries, of all the conversations that we recorded and transcribed of Srila Gurudev himself painting this Sevakunj painting, which he just did through our hands as one would use a paintbrush. So that we have here for giving out to anyone who wants. And now we just had Xeroxed, most of you know about the 4 Manjari paintings. So Gurudev also actually painted them by conversations, and we have transcriptions of those conversations which led up to the completion of the painting, and we'll have those also here along with the Sevakunj painting conversations, so you can see how Gurudev painted those pictures. They'll also be here available starting today. Available means no money, we'll just give them out. So when Gurudev said you wanted the Venugeet painting, that was about a year or so, a year or two after the Sevakunj paintings and after the Manjari paintings. Then he ordered us to do the Venugeet painting. So I said, well, actually, I already did one for the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, after Prabhupada's departure, of the same description of Venugeet. So I showed him this picture, and he said, oh, Krishna looks too young there. And then he started guiding the Venugeet painting, which we'll discuss in a moment. Now we're starting the, do you have the Venugeet one? Elena, did you have? Oh, wait, never mind. We don't need that because we have the David G. Clay of Venugreek. We have a lot of the original paintings here that were done by Gurudev using me as a paintbrush on this side, and beautiful G. Clays that were just printed yesterday, actually, of the paintings. Last year, Srila Gurudev had us hold up a couple of G. Clays, this one and a half-finished G. Clay of this painting of Radharani with the pots. So we thought we'd do it again this year, because now the G. Clays are with us and available. We held up the G. Clays last year, but we couldn't connect the people. We didn't have the information to connect the people. So by the kind arrangement of Kulakshekhar Prabhu in the back, sitting next to Sripada Padmanabha Maharaj, he inspired this whole and helped it all happen, the G. Clays. And I think if I did a quiz and asked which are the G. Clays and which are the paintings, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. In fact, in some cases, the G. Clays are even more three-dimensional and brilliant than the original paintings. So, when Gurudev first ordered us to do the painting of the Venu Geet, he said the one that I already had done was too young. So, he actually guided this one every step of the way. He explained how Baladev should be. And the way it worked with Gurudev is that he would give some information, a little bit of information. And then with that little bit of information and lots of prayers, we would bring him a sketch. That would inspire him to tell us what was wrong with the painting, the sketch, and to tell us more information. Well, actually, you can add this here to the sketch, and you should change that and put that there, and you can add these details to the sketch. So in the course of all the meetings about Venu Geet, he said that Baladev should be shown walking ahead. Because as you know, the older brother in Vedic culture is like in Vatsalyabha. Baladev is a combination of Sakyabha and Vatsalyabha, or a friend and parent. So older brother is something like a parent, and the parent never is around when the husband and wife are associating more confidentially. What to speak of a paramour relationship. They'll never be there. So Baladev, although he's the first expansion of God, and although he serves Krishna in all varieties of ways, he even expands as Sheshanag to hold up the universes and to be the bed and pillow and umbrella of Lord Vishnu. He expands as Mahavishnu to create all the universes. He becomes Krishna's friend and protector, and he incarnates as Ram's brother, as Ram's all brothers, because Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Sankarshan, and Vasudeva became Ram and his brothers, but all the other expansions came from Balaram. Still, he cannot enter, in that form of Balaram, he cannot enter Krishna's confidential pastime places when the gopis are there. There are other kinds of characters, the Priyanam Sakas, who are Krishna's age, who play somewhat in those pastimes, but not the older ones. So, in order to enter those pastimes, Baladev manifests as the land of Vrindavan, as the Kunjas, and so he can see from his different angles of vision. Or he becomes Ananga Manjari to enter as that way, as Radharani's younger sister. But in the form of Baladev, he cannot. So Gurudev said he should be seen walking ahead. He knows what's going on. As you can see, his eyes are looking towards the back. But in order to facilitate Radha and Krishna's pastimes, he can't be there. So he and the older coward boys are walking ahead. And for your happy information, Gurudev posed for practically every one of these paintings for the different personalities. So he also posed for the coward boys who were in the back, like Subal and Sridhar, who are Krishna's age, Priya Narasakas. And they're saying, "Krishna, wait! Look at us! Watch!" So that Krishna would slow down. Baladev's going ahead, Krishna's in the middle, and to slow him down further, the coward boys are calling him from way in the distance, so that the gopis, who are hiding in the kunj, and Gurudev said we can take an artistic license to show you what's behind the kunj, because usually you wouldn't be able to see it, because all the lattice network is so tight. And even though you find in some books, like Govinda Lilamrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita, that sometimes Krishna would appear to want to take some service from the mandiris, but then he would close the door tight so that they couldn't escape. And just so that he could try to engage in Madhurya Ras with them directly, and they would not at all be interested, fight them off if they had to. So even though it says he closed the door tight, or he had Kundalata or somebody close the door tight, there are no doors there. I asked Gurudev about that, because we have to know. Our group has to know that. And so he said, no, it's just latticework doorways, just creeper doorways, just tree doorways. And therefore you see in the Manjari picture that the doorways are all made of strings of garlands going this way and that way. So Gurudev said we can take an artistic license and show you what's behind in the kunja by keeping it more open. So here, Radha and Krishna are able to take stealthy glances towards each other. Can we go longer since we're just beginning? Like, can we go till 2 o'clock?
Yes.
And then we can take prasadam then?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So, is that alright with everybody?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because it's only a one-time thing. We can't continue tomorrow. Alright, so this enables Radha and Krishna to take stealthy glances. And this Venugeet, Gurudev wanted to be, all the verses of Venugeet are together in this one verse. Because Radha and Krishna looking at each other are that verse, Akshan Vitam Palamidam Param Vidama. That anyone who has eyes, the perfection of their eyes is that they'll be able to see Radha and Krishna glancing at each other. And not even glancing at anyone else, but glancing at each other and participating in making those arrangements for that glance and that meeting is the perfection of the eyes. And anyone who doesn't have that vision, who can't see that, like myself, there's no point in having them, in having eyes. Their head might as well be struck with a thunderbolt, because their head is useless and their eyes are useless. So these are Radharani's assistants. Gurudev explained that the assistant is helping Radharani by having her hand around Radharani's waist, thinking because Radharani now sees Krishna, or is going to see Krishna, and she's not being able to keep her balance. So her tiny waist might break. So as a service, the assistants will hold on to her waist. They'll make her tassel, flower tassel, waist belt for that same reason, and hold her also for that same reason. And this was also related that the Krishna Sara, the black male deer is following just behind the female wife deer who leads her husband in bhakti and looks at Krishna with love-laden glances that the gopis are not fortunate to do, they say. Well, then you may say, what do you mean they're not fortunate to do? They're right there doing it. But sometimes when Gurudev is explaining how to do a painting, because he's in trance seeing everything all at once, he expects the painting to show everything at once. If I can just point to this one a second. When he was telling us about the Manjari paintings, which would be right next to the Seva Kunj painting, he said, okay, the Manjaris are standing on guard and Radha Krishna is inside. That's what the painting should be. They're standing on guard, not on guard, but waiting for when the exact moment is right for them to do their service, because they know exactly when to come in. Or they're standing there on guard so that Subal Saka, that friend of Subal, won't come in because Radharani is very upset with him that he's late, and therefore we will not let him in. And then Krishna comes like a cat with his pitumbra around his neck, very humble, and they send him away until he falls down at their feet and begs, and then they get permission and bring him in. So there's two things that are happening. Radha's alone and the Mantris are there waiting to send away that Subal Saka, or Radha and Krishna are inside and they're waiting to do their services. So different things are happening. So similarly, the gopis are here, but they're not here. They're in their homes singing Gopi Geet and lamenting that the cowherd boys get to be with Krishna, the rivers get to be with Krishna, and as you can see, they're offering their lotus flowers with their hand waves. You can see that the waves are shaped like hands offering their lotus. And sometimes they jump up and wrap themselves around Krishna's lotus feet in submission. And we're not as fortunate as the peacocks and the birds. The birds are sitting up on the trees in branches that are full of leaves. Why? In case they would faint when they would hear Krishna's flute, they won't fall off the tree. Also, just as sages are in their secluded hermitages so that they can do their secluded confidential bhajans, they're also in the hermitages of their trees, which represent the highest. They're in the highest branches, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the highest branches of the Vedas. And they're stunned. They can't hear anything else or see anything else. And we're not as fortunate as the cows, who are just like mothers of Krishna, and when they hear the flute playing of Krishna, they can't chew anymore. They don't swallow, and the grass doesn't fall out, but they just hang. And the cows take Krishna into their heart and embrace him like mothers in their heart. And we're not as fortunate as the calves either. You can see the calves are drinking the milk from their udders, the udders of their mothers. And then they can't drink anymore. So the milk doesn't get swallowed and it doesn't fall out. It just stays in the mouth and dribbles on the side. So Gurudev is explaining each part, of course, in his translations of Vinuki, and also in the painting. In fact, Gurudev posed for the cows with the ears several times so that I would get it right. So because they're in their homes, they're not here, but because of their utter absorption, complete absorption in the mantras of Venugit, this is the fifth stage, Agmani Vedanam. There are five limbs of chanting mantra, and the fifth is Agmani Vedanam, which is beyond Sharanagati, where one actually enters into the mantra and becomes part of the mantra. And what is the mantra? The deity of the mantra and the pastimes of the deity of the mantra is the mantra. So the gopis, because of their absorption, they ended up in the forest, Akshambhatam Pulamidam, Paramaharitam, that the Buddha approved, where they're describing how Krishna has the peacock feather, which is just like a rainbow, and he's dancing like a Natavada, the best of dancers, and he's wearing a Vajrayanti mala, five-colored garland, and he's carrying, he has a rope on his turban for binding the calf's feet, and a lasso rope on his shoulders for lassoing the cows that are wild to capture them back, really to rope in the hearts of the gopis. So all the details of Venugita are here. And just to make sure everything was under Gurudev's guidance, we went to Loy Bazaar and bought, you know how you buy for the deities that the peacock feathers that go around? And then you stick it onto their mukut. So we bought one of those and brought it to Gurudev, and we said, where on Krishna's head, exactly how, does he wear that set of peacock feathers that are like a rainbow? And Gurudev put it to the side of his head. So that's where his top knot is. Said top knot and peacock feather. He can wear it in any way. But in this particular picture, I'm sorry?
Can I get to pause for a second?
Yeah.
Changing
the floppies. So in this particular picture, he's wearing it in that way. Okay.
Question on what you were just saying.
Loudly.
You mentioned that they're in their homes and simultaneously.
We do have another mic. Sushil Prabhu has two mics.
Short.
Oh, it's too short? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned they're in their homes simultaneously, they are in the Kunja with the Lord. So there are different demigods that provide the functioning of all the limbs of our body. Is it a demigod or is it directly Krishna himself who allows them to be in two places at once?
It's their bhakti that allows them. In fact, Krishna is only someplace because he knows they're going to be there. Otherwise, he has no business going anywhere in Vrindavan. So, okay. So then, next. Yes.
You also mentioned that
Balaram
is leaving just because of that mood that he has, parental mood. He cannot be that there with that body. He's still there in another.
He's there with them, if another manjari is with them, he's there as the land, because he's Dhanishra. That means he manifests as all of Krishna's abodes.
Alright. Krishna's parents also in the Rasa Ligas?
Krishna what?
Parents, Yashoda,
or nobody's allowed to be there, except those in Manjari Ras. But that reminds me, Gurudev said that Baladev is carrying a buffalo horn. So I said, how can he carry a buffalo horn? Because there's no violence in Goloka Vrindavan. They love all their animals. How could they have taken a horn from the buffalo? So Gurudev said, it just looks like a buffalo horn, but actually it's made of leaves in the shape of a buffalo horn and it blows. So therefore you'll see that the buffalo horn in Baladev's almost mouth is greenish. Therefore, there's no. I once asked him also about, in one of the Goswami's books, it says that there's a deerskin rug in Radharani's house. I said, how can that be? So Gurudev said, it's eternal. They don't have to take it from the deer. There was no time that it wasn't. And I asked him also, they drink honey wine and then they get intoxicated in praying? Or they, and then they have to stutter and say the sky is falling, Radharani says, and they chew pan, and then they get intoxicated? He said, the pan, the betel nuts, and the honey wine is all made of prem. So it's all coming from them, not inspiring them, but it's just an excuse. It's really all their prem. The whole forest of Vrindavan is made of prem. Kulukshetra Prabhu?
Love?
They're actually there.
Some told me they're not really there, they're in their homes.
and they're appearing there in a mental form.
They're not different from their mind, they're not different from their thoughts.
Are they there or are they?
They're there. They're actually there. In the crunch. Okay. So this is a close-up of a close-up. Okay, next. Next is, we'll go to the next painting, which is Gaudiya Tire.
Can we just pause for a second?
Yeah.
Fix a bike with
him. Okay.
Can I get done with the composition?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you'll be happy to know that Srila Gurudev also posed for the Gaudiya Tire painting. The way that this manifested is that Gurudev told me one day that the day before Janmashtami, that's Janmashtami Eve, we have a big procession going through the streets of Mathura. And tens of thousands of residents of Mathura gather on both sides of the street, and we have deities, and we have, then Gurudev also rides on a chariot with horses. The deities also ride on a chariot.
Just move this because it's in front of the camera.
Okay. And Mahaprabhu, while we're on the subject, he's making DVDs of this. So if you want to show this to your friends so that they can see how Prabhupada and Gurudev think of the world, just contact Mahaprabhu. So he was telling about the big procession that they have, Gurudev's mud has in Mathura, on Janmashtami Eve. He said, I also want to have a chariot for Gaudiya Tire. And so he, at that moment, inspired the painting of Gaudiya Tire. Gurudev posed, as you see, Gauranga and Nityananda are posing. Gurudev stood up from his bed in his room in Mathura and posed just like that, and with his eyes and his facial expression. Just as 30 years earlier, Prabhupada would pose for, you know, we do the comic strips. So one comic strip was Brahma stealing Krishna's cows and coward boys. So we had to show Krishna as a coward boy. And at that time, our brahmacharis and householders wore a different style of dhoti that they wear now. It was more like a balloon style that they wear in some places in the Gaudiya Mutt. So I asked Prabhupada, and he personally posed for Krishna playing his flute. He had a sannyas dhoti on, then he put another dhoti, another cloth around that, and he dropped, the sannyas cloth dropped underneath the other dhoti, and he pleated it. Then he stuck the bottom of it behind one leg, crossed his leg, took another cloth and knotted it just like you see Krishna in the Vrijvasi prints. He said sometimes Krishna would take his chadar and knot it around his waist when it was hot out. So then Prabhupada posed like that. Another time he posed for Lord Nrisimhadev, crossing his eyes and going like that. In 1966, posing for the first Lord Nrisimhadev painting. Similarly, because Gurudev is no less a Bhaktivedanta, he posed for Gaudiya Tire. Then I was showing him sketches of Gaudiya Tire in front of a very big, beautiful tree with this top here, but much more foliage because you have the body of the tree as well. So it was Gaudiya Tire, the ground, this little calf here, and the big tree with beautiful leaves And I was showing him the line drawing, fine, he was guiding it. The color sketch, fine, he was guiding it. Then we went on to the big canvas, fine, he was guiding it. Then about a month later, he said, no, actually take out the tree and put in the lacs of Kirtaniyas. So we had to take out the tree at this stage and put in all these Kirtaniyas. Then, we didn't have them either. We didn't have Nityananda. I mean, we didn't have Gadadhar, we didn't have Advaita Acharya, we didn't have Srivas. He told us to put that in when the picture was half done. You've heard the old saying, it's a rope, it's a snake, and surrendering to Guru. So, now you may say, well, how come there aren't ladies there? Why aren't the ladies on the Sankirtan party? So we asked Gurudev that, and he said, it's because the Muslims were very, Muslims or Mohammedans, I don't remember. Both were very terrible, and they would, that's right, because that's one of the reasons that Advaita Acharya called Lord Chaitanya, because of that. And they would just take ladies and rape them. Therefore, for protection, they would stay inside and come out on the party, but they would chant inside. So, during the course of making the lacs of Kirtaniyas, hundreds of thousands of Kirtaniyas, I asked Gurudev, because I wanted to know if he could be there too, if I could make him there. But I didn't want to ask directly, because sometimes he won't ask the question unless he's asked indirectly. So I said, can we also expect, and therefore can I also put Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and our other acharyas there? He said yes, and one of my godbrothers was sitting there. So in order to cover up the fact of him admitting that he's there, just like years earlier, I asked Prabhupada about playing, do you hear Krishna playing his flute? So he said, why not? And then immediately, getting off the subject of himself, he said, he quoted the verse about the six Goswamis, just to get that subject. Similarly, Gurudev, in order to give the answer, and at the same time, not be direct, he said, my godbrother Giriraj Swami was in the room. So when I was asking about Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and our Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, oh yes, they're there, and Giriraj Maharaj is there, and I'm there, and you're there. And in other words, he answered that he's also somewhere there. To find out where he is, that's a matter of doing bhajan. And then I also asked him, just like we used to ask Prabhupada for specifics, like when we sent him the sketch of Lord Chaitanya preaching to Chan Kazi when they came with the big, what is it? What do you call those sticks Vishan. With the...
Vashan.
Vashan?
Vashan.
Vashan. Vashan. Vashan. With the clubs, with the flames, ready to burn down the house of Chan Kazi. And we showed Prabhupada the beginning of the painting. Lord Nityananda was there, sure enough, holding a mridanga. Prabhupada said, no mridanga. Similarly, no mridanga in the hands of Nityananda. Similarly, I had kartals in the hands of Advaita Acharya. Gurudev said, no kartals in his hands.
Why?
Yes.
Why? Because I heard from our group artists about the bureau.
Shyamala has something to say. He's asking about the beard of Advaita Acharya. Didn't you say something another time? Wasn't that you?
I assume that.
Yeah, you asked, Narayan Prabhu asked, and Shyamala made a comment that loud. She's too shy. When Gurudev's disciple Shyamala, okay, here. You're getting one. I know you're shy, but Gurudev doesn't want you to be a world preacher.
There's one devotee, one disciple, Kamal Kamisakar, he first came from Hawaii before he was initiated. his manager. And Gurudev said, oh, Advaita Acharya has come.
So Gurudev did confirm that he has appeared. At least sometimes he has appeared. So Gurudev did confirm that at least sometimes he has appeared, because he said that, and he guided his painting as well. Oh yes, one thing I forgot to mention, that when Gurudev saw the branches, he said, make the roots coming down, because just like in Vrindavan, all the trees and creepers and everybody is conscious. Like the creepers, they wouldn't blow from the wind, they would go like this in order to call over. You know how in India they call over like this? In America they call like that. In India they call like this, so the creepers are calling over the bumblebees to sit on their creeper branches. And then the bumblebees sit on them, and then the fragrance, which is made of praying, would intoxicate the bees, and the bees would sing, so they'd have a whole chorus. So the whole forest was a chorus. So similarly, Gurudev said, the roots and the leaves, they all blow so that they could fan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, Kapil?
I have a question about
He's saying that in the Panchatattva painting, Lord Chaitanya appears with a string of pearls, a girdle, and a bangle on one ankle. Yes.
Not in our paintings. The way Prabhupada guided us, he should be wearing neck beads. And there was no instruction about an ankle bracelet.
But it's there. It's on our Bhaktigarya. One
Bhaktigarya
is there.
Well, I didn't do it, so I don't know who did it. But I'm very glad that you brought that up, because we did ask Gurudev whether we should put in jewelry. Because sometimes you see in the songs that he's wearing bracelets made of sandalwood and nupurs, ankle belts. So Gurudev said no, no jewelry. When it's describing the jewelry, it means that his bobs, and that song, Ujjvala Varana, his bobs are his jewels. So he said he wouldn't even know if his garland is on or off, he's always fainting and falling. What would he do with jewels? So therefore he ordered for this painting no jewels. Though Prabhupada said in his childhood he could wear jewels when we would do his childhood paintings for Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we kept insisting, but Gurudev, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, but Gurudev in this song it says, he said, no, it's all bobs, bob jewels. Yes, Kurukshetra Prabhu? Loud?
In the Vedic piece of painting, and in the 45 painting, this young child is looking straight out at me. In the Vedic piece, there's only one calf that's looking straight out. Do you paint yourself in there, Shamara?
No, I'm not going to be a calf. I'm going to be an incense stick.
Also, in the Gaudiya title, one pencil right at Nityananda's toe. When I was retouching, it was bugging me, and I wanted to take it out. I thought, well, it may have some significance.
There's one what?
Pebble. Right in front of the toe. And it was bugging me. I wanted to take it out of painting, but I didn't want to make artistic license. I figured there must be some reason.
Oh, I can only say that he shines up wherever he goes, like we'll be discussing in these other paintings. So I just want to say one last thing, because we do want to get on to the others, that I asked Gurudev, this painting looks like it's an Aishwarya, because he wants it to be worshipped as a worshipable object. He wants it in his temple, and it looks like you could worship them in long reverence. So I said, but you're telling us about the gopis and you want us to enter into Radha Krishna Leela. You say it's best to have Radha Krishna deities. So how can we understand the Gaudentai painting in terms of that? So he said, Lord Nityananda is a Kanda Guru Tattva. All of our gurus, all of our Rasikacharyas, like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, are all manifestations of Nityananda in one way, because he's a Kanda Guru Tattva. Also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Radha and Krishna. So in that way, one way we can see it. So now we'll go on to the next.
One more question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You want
to? We're just going to take a commercial break for 1 minute. intermission commercial break. And this 1 minute commercial will be by Sri Prabhupada.
Hello, Krishna. I would like to inform everyone that you have a very unique opportunity to get these wonderful windows to the spiritual world in your own home very soon. And the reason these are being made available to you at this particular time is because we have a very important project that we're trying to accomplish for Srila Gurudev. And this is the new Navadvip project. How many of you have heard about the Navadvip project? Raise your hands. Srila Gurudev is trying to leave us a wonderful legacy, a place where we can go. Both, we've got one beautiful place right now in Govardhan, and he wants to leave us one beautiful place in Navadvip, where we can go and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and the Panchatattva, in the proper mood, the mood that Lord Chaitanya came and manifested in this world to teach us this mood. When he says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that I'm lamenting that I appeared as Krishna and I gave all the rules and regulations and principles of Krishna consciousness, but I didn't give people an opportunity to taste the ecstasy of the mood of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Brajavasi. This ecstatic mood, the spontaneous devotional service. And even deeper than that, in particular, the Rupanuga, not just Radhanuga, but Rupanuga Bhav of the Manjaris. So Mahaprabhu came to give us this taste, and Sri Gurudev wants to give us a place where we can go and practice devotional service in these moods, where we can be in an uninhibited, unrestricted atmosphere, where we can practice devotional service in these particular moods. So this Navadvip project is very, very important. And so in order to promote the Navadvip project, in order to get the project off the ground, we're trying to get people to make contributions, but we want to give people something wonderful for their valuable contribution in setting up the Navadvip project. And what is it that we're going to give them? We're going to give them an opportunity to have the windows to the spiritual world in their home. These beautiful jhikhlis that you see before you, let me explain what this Xi Clay means. Previously, you've probably seen paintings which have been scanned onto art canvases so that you get an idea of, or a mood of, that it's an actual original painting. But this goes a little deeper. It goes deeper because with these new modern technological methods, when these paintings, original paintings, are scanned, not only are they scanning the picture itself, but they're scanning it in a much deeper way because the DPIs, or the dots per square inch, are much greater than on the previous scanning processes. And it also takes into account the depth. You see a lot of depth in the original painting. The depth is also there in the Xi Clays because of the technology in which it takes into account the depth of the perception of the painting, as well as the colors and the other subtle and delicate nuances. So much so that even some texture actually goes through. As when you feel one of these paintings, there's a little bit of graininess from the paint. Some of that is also actually felt to some degree on these paintings as well. And so only a very well-trained eye of a great artist like Srimati Shamarani could actually tell the difference between a Xi Clay.
I couldn't tell the difference.
And an original painting. So, of course, the difference between a Xi Clay and an original painting is that an original painting is worth many, many thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of dollars because it's a one of a kind. And the Xi Clay, which almost identically matches it, can be made available to you for much less money than that. But at the same time, you get an opportunity when you make this contribution that you actually are able to help build this Navadvi project. We're building a great temple and a great living facility out there where the devotees can worship Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna in this Raga, Rupa Duga, Bhava, Mar, Ashura Bhakti Vedanta, Narayan Maharaj, Gurudev is giving us. So let me tell you that the two larger Xi Clays that you see here, they'll be made available to the devotees. You can actually take them home today after this program. These larger Xi Clays can be taken home, maybe not today after this program, but before you leave this facility. And it will be a donation of $1,000 only. And then this great window to the spiritual world of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the Vayuhij, Krishna with the gopis and the kunj, can be in your home, beautifully framed. It's only $1,000 contribution, and all funds will go to the Navadvi project. Ram Das, could you ask Vishwambar to come real quickly? I want to introduce you to Vishwambar. The other smaller paintings that you see, like this one here, of Manini, Radha and Krishna and Mom, and the other smaller paintings, these Xi Clays will be made available to you for a smaller contribution of only $500. And all of the money will go to the Navadvi project for building the Navadvi temple. This is Vishwambar Das. He is the person who's in charge of collecting these donations. He has a table right outside the door, immediately to your left when you go out. And you can give him a check, you can give him a credit card, you can give him money orders, you can give him cash, and he'll tell you the details of how you're supposed to write out the check to Bhakti Project and make a notation about it being the Navadvi Xi Clays, so that it's all clear in their accounting procedures. Yes, Guru Shekhar.
Currently we have about 36 prints with us. They're printing all night.
Okay.
After they're printed, they have to be coded with a special UV coding, an ultraviolet coding.
Right.
That protects them. If they're not in direct sunlight, the color will not fade for 60 to 100 years. So these will last for 60 to 100 years with absolutely no color change or fading. And the ones that we do not have prints with us, you can pay and get orders,
right,
and they will be mailed to your home within 2 to 3 weeks.
Some of them can be taken home from here directly, and some of them will be mailed to your home as per your order. But what I would like to do today, if it's possible, and I don't know who here.
They can also get smaller ones for smaller.
Yes. There are also smaller size prints for less amount of money.
And also this can be made bigger.
Yeah.
That can be made smaller.
Yeah. All the paintings can be made into larger or smaller. If you wanted to order Manini in the size that you see the Nitai Orr painting, you could do that. If you wanted to order the Nitai Orr painting in a smaller size, even as small as you see the one with Radharani with the pot on her head, the clay pot, you could get it that small as well. Whatever sizes you wanted to order them in, we could get them. So I'm just curious, is there anybody here, without actually making a financial commitment yet, is there anybody here, by a show of hands, who are interested in trying to get these Yiklays? Could you raise your hand if you're interested in getting them? Okay, great. That's fabulous. Yes, go check.
Also, these prints are going to be signed by Shamarani Devi.
Right. Every print will be signed by Srimati Shamarani Devi and Srila Gurudev. So, their value has just increased greatly. Maybe I should charge more? Yes, Prabhu. The actual original painting that you took? Yeah, this one here.
That one, no, one looks bigger.
Yeah, because that's the Giclée, and this is the original painting on canvas. This is not a Giclée.
But you can make the...
But you could make that one that big if you wanted it. We'll work that detail out when you come to the table and you speak with Kula Shekhar. We'll work the details out of you for making it that large. Okay, so can we shake out for who's right there?
Only one size.
Huh?
Only one size. This is the largest one.
That's the one. Well, you can't make it this large?
Yes.
Could the gentleman behind you is asking, yes, could the Gordon Tai painting be made actual size? In Giclée?
We're only limited by the width of the roll of canvas.
Okay. Right.
However, we can only take it up as far as the pixelation we carry with the scan.
Okay.
So there is a limit to the size we can get to. Also, when you stretch it on a stretcher, to stretch something this size onto a stretchy frame, you have to have special bracing in the back.
Okay.
There's a point where
that's custom.
We're limited only by the size.
So the question then, can you make one this size, the actual size?
You can make it bigger.
Huh?
Yeah.
You could make it even bigger. So there's your answer. So the gentleman right behind you, he wants to talk with you about the pricing of a larger size than Tagore. Huh? Oh, you about the pricing? You're the one? Okay.
Green
Kulo. All right, you want both of you. Okay. All right. Alright, so I'm very excited about the interest of everyone, but I'm just curious, is there anyone here today who would like to take home either one of these two Giclées now? Is there someone who wants to raise their hand and say, I'm committed to making a $1,000 donation to the Namdegree Project and take one of these paintings home today? Is there anybody who's ready to do that now? You. Which one? The Radha Krishna one?
Benedict.
And your name? Come, please come up. Come on up. Come on.
Wow.
Come on up. What is your name? Vinodini. So Vinodini is going to take the Vedodin Chikoli from Srimati Shamalani. Let's give it a big hand. Let's go on the nomination for the Lightning Project. Now this project is... They'll be available in many different sizes and forms, yes. Anybody else?
Should we start
can you provide a credit program for the...
Yeah, credit cards.
No, he's talking about a page.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, there's no pay plan here.
We're starting construction in like...
She wants to get this one? Your name?
Sudha.
Alright, Sudha Devi Dasi is donating $500 to the ranking of Srimati Radharani. Now $1,500 for the Radharani project. Who else wants to make a contribution and come forward and pick one painting today?
Can I just mention something?
Yeah, I know you have more.
Even if Sudha has already taken this, maybe...
Yes, we have more copies.
We have a few copies here.
Huh? This is the original Shikula. It's not the original painting. The original painting is here. But this is many, 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 many thousands of dollars more to get the original. We can talk about that. You come and speak with me privately about that. That we won't do in public.
Wait, is that the originals or not? I just want to know
before we close, is there anybody else who wants to make a commitment to get a painting? Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Radhani with the pot.
Radhani with the pot.
Jai Shri.
All right, which
one?
Jai Shri. What is the form? Huh? Yeah. Which size do you want?
No, there's only two sizes. It's either this size.
No, look at this.
Can you pause it?
Do you have one size, right? If somebody, all the people who are outside who want to come in again, you can start. So, about 6 years ago, as I mentioned, I was doing the paintings for Gurudev of Sevapunj, the Four Mudris, Gornatai, and Venugi, and then Bhagavad Gita. Then in 1999 or 2000, Gurudev said to me, "Don't ever paint again for this whole life, because you'll be destroyed if you do, because of the pain cues." Then, 3 years later, he said, in Navadvip, he said, I'm producing now a Gita Govinda book in Hindi, and I want you to make drawings of them, just line drawings, because they have to be completed in a month, because we want to print right away. Anita, can you get those two things, sir? Because we want to print right away, so it has to be very fast. You can do them, and you can engage other devotees also in doing these drawings. So I hadn't done drawings in many years, and he told me that, in the Bengali version of Gita Govinda, there are some drawings that you can use for inspiration. He told us to Xerox that Bengali Gita Govinda and get the pictures and show the other artists, and all the artists would be working together. So when I saw those Bengali drawings of the pastimes, they were very, very terrible. You couldn't even tell what was happening without some hours of study, because the lines were all in crazy places. So I thought, well, I'll just read the book. I'll just read anybody's translation, even though Gurudev told me, don't read any other translation. Just use these pictures. But I thought, well, I know more. I know that I should use these, I should read the other translation, and I should just do my own pictures. So I did that for a month in the Philippines. Then when I met Gurudev again in Los Angeles, he rejected all of my paintings. He said, I want you to use those Bengali ones. The basic composition is better than what you have, and what they're illustrating is better than what you do. And he refused to talk to me. He just pushed the drawings away, and then I studied the Bengali drawings more, and I tried to build up and make something better for them. And he still, every time I would show him something in L.A. and Badger, he would always say, no time, I have no time to look, no time, I'm busy. But he had time for everybody else. But I kept working on it, and then finally I started doing some inking. And when the first one was satisfying to him, because he kept saying, she looks too old, this looks too fat. Then finally, after 2 months, he started talking to me again and getting more and more satisfied and then giving more and more directions and then getting into more and more details. So again, the drawings for the Gita Govinda came from his, the basic, extremely crude drawings of the Bengali version, and then Gurudev's details on how to draw these line drawings. So we're quickly going to go through the line drawings. This one is very interesting because, again, I could hardly understand what the Bengali drawings looked like. And then when I finally understood what was happening in this scene, I said to Gurudev, I'm not sure about drawing this because it looks like Krishna is in a superior position to Radharani. And I know you always want her to look superior. So he said, no, Krishna is in the inferior position. This picture comes at the end. This was when we were already in England. Because in every country, we would take the drawings, we would follow Gurudev around the world in his tour. And in every country, we continue to develop the drawings under his guidance. So he said, no, in England, no. Krishna is in an inferior position. He's niche, he's lower. Radharani is saying to him, after all the offenses he had committed and all the separation he made her feel, she's saying to him now with her elbow on his thigh, so, are you going to ever offend me again? And Krishna is looking down and saying, no, I'm not! And she's saying here, really? And he's saying, really? I'm really not. So in that sense, Radharani remains in the superior position. Amen. And this is also the second to the last picture when Radharani Sati is convincing her to go out and meet with Krishna. And in the Bengali one, there was no forest. It was just some concrete structure. Couldn't tell what structure, but some concrete structure. And Gurudev said, change it and put it in the forest. Now this one, when I showed him this one, that's when he started liking everything, and then the other ones came after that. And this, the Sati is consoling Radharani, who's feeling separation. And this is after Krishna comes to Radharani to try to break her mind and she rejects him, then she's sitting alone thinking, oh, fie on my life, fie on my beauty and my ornaments and my youth, because I sent Krishna away. He came to me in such a pleading mood and with his lotus eyes and sweet smile and tears, and I kicked him out. So if he can't see my beauty, then fie on it. What's its use? These drawings will later on also be available in the large size. And this he was developing with us in Holland that the Sati is speaking with Krishna, how much do you want Radharani to suffer because she's already at the point of death? And she gives a very long, chapter-long speech, chapter-long in this Gita Govinda. For those of you who haven't seen the Gita Govinda, all of these three Gita Govinda pictures are in it, and also all these line drawings are in it. And here the Sakhi again, another Sakhi is consoling Radharani. Here the Sakhi is consoling Krishna. And here, Krishna is telling Radharani, he knew that she was going to the Jamuna to get water, so he just happened to be there. And he said to her, looking for any excuse to talk, he said, "Oh, I see that you have two big heavy plates. Can I help you with one?" And she said, "No, thank you. I'm not interested in any debauchery. I'm a chaste housewife." Now, just for one moment commercial, this folio, this database of Srila Prabhupada, which has all of his books, original books, and all of his lectures, and all of his letters, and all of his conversations, used to be $600. You could get them from the BBT. Now, you can get them at this Lombard's table for $6. You install it on your computer, and any subject you want to know about, suppose Gurudev explains some subject and you can't understand it, you just press that word in, and everything that Srila Prabhupada has ever said or written about it comes up on your screen. And this is the grace of Ms. Chinchi Prabhu that we have them in this easy way. Okay, and this, Gurudev was explaining, Srimati Radhika is feeling great separation from Krishna, and she's so much absorbed in that separation that Krishna appears to her in a way that no one else can see. There are also smaller G-clays available. We have them here for those who want to make smaller donations to Navadvipa. We have a few of those. And this one is very interesting. It looks like Radha and Krishna are just walking, strolling through the forest. But Gurudev explained what's happening here. Always he wants, because he's in the Rupanuga Guru Varga, so he always wants Radharani to be in a superior position. When I asked Gurudev once, "How can I be free from fear?" he said, "Just meditate on the verse, Tambula Panapadamarana Payadama Visara Divi, that when will I become a maidservant of Radharani and offer her tambul and water for drinking and water for washing her feet and taking her out to meet with Krishna?" So he said, "You should just offer Krishna the betel nuts, offer them to Radharani, and to give to Krishna." And Radharani is offering it to Krishna like this. I mean, she's in the superior position, and Krishna is like this, behind her. So similarly here, Radha and Krishna are walking, and she just realizes, "I don't want to be with him. I'm a chaste wife, and he's offensive anyway." So she's trying to get away and go back home. And he's saying, "No, please, please, stay with me. Please don't leave me."
That's it.
And then we have the Das Avatars. Then, in Mathura one day, because Gurudev told us to do the Govardhan Leela pictures, he said, "I want you to do about 20 drawings for Govardhan Leela, because one Bengali sculptor is coming and making 10-foot bas reliefs, painting 10-foot bas reliefs or carving them at the Govardhan Mandir. And the same bas reliefs and even more and even bigger are going to be in Gurudev's Navadvipa temple." So he said, "Make the Govardhan Leela." And he helped me pick out the leelas. He said, I want them to be in triptychs, like three pictures per pastimes, and we'll show you those in a moment. Then he said, that was in Govardhan, he gave us that order. Then in Mathura, he said, in our Durvasa Muni ashram, big palatial mandir, there are so many paintings of the Das avatars, but I want you to make some line drawings that are better, and then those will become bas reliefs at Govardhan, which are better. So under his order, we did these with the help of about five other artists of Gurudev's disciples. We did these line drawings, and you can see they're much more, I don't know what the word is, better drawn or lively than the paintings, the Indian paintings of Das avatars that you usually see. Okay, this is the fish incarnation, Matsya. The turtle incarnation, Korma. The Kalki avatar, Lord Buddha, Balaram. And for Balaram, Gurudev himself was posing for Balaram. He said he has to look very, very powerful. And he kept posing when we were doing the painting the bas relief of Govardhan. We'll show you that next year because we're still in the middle of them. But he kept saying, no, Baladev should look stronger, with a stronger neck that's out. And he kept posing. Okay, that's Baladev. I guess that's it. And this is Parasaram, and Lord Ram, and Vamandev, and Varaha. This is also very nice for children's coloring. Okay. Then, after we did the line drawings, we gave them to the sculptor to... Oh, should we show the Govardhan ones? Do you have them?
Wall paintings?
No. Oh, the line drawings. Then we gave the line drawings of Das Avatar and the Govardhan drawings, which we'll show you in a moment, to the sculptor. Then they did the sculptures. And then, just a few weeks before Kartik, Gurudev said, now you should do the paintings. He said, these Indian sculptors could never do it. Only you could do it, and in the Western style. And then, when we showed Gurudev the wall paintings, these are the drawings. She'll just show them as I'm talking about the wall paintings. And Gurudev posed for a lot of these drawings also. He also posed for Hanuman flying, because in the sketch that I showed him, Hanuman was in a certain way, and Gurudev said no. And then he posed for Hanuman flying. And for all these, he said they should be in duets and triptychs. So the pastime takes place in two paintings or in three paintings. And this Krishna lifting Govardhan is not like any Krishna lifting Govardhan or any DBT lifting Govardhan. This is in a special mood, Gurudev said, showing all the five rasas. Krishna there is actually in Madhurya Ras. And he's seeing Radharani. He arranged his pastimes just so he could associate with the gopis without anybody complaining. So he's seeing Radharani now. He's lost in thought. His finger is shaking. And he's staring at Radha, she's staring at him. And what's happening is his flute is falling from his hand. The tambura of chatter is falling from his shoulders. And he's just about to faint right in the middle of lifting Govardhan Hill. So you can see Madhu Mangal there. Gurudev said to put him in. He's pinching Krishna, saying, Krishna, this is not the time to faint. And then Gurudev said, that's Vatsalya Ras. Mother Yasoda is in anxiety that what if the mountain falls on my son? And this is Sakyaras. The coward boys are thinking, yep, we'll help Krishna hold up the hill with our coward boy sticks. And the older coward men are thinking, it's because of Nanda Maharaj's austerities that Narayan himself is appearing there and holding the hill, not Krishna. And that Gopi at the end, she's threatening to curse Govardhan, that if you fall just 1 inch on Krishna, I'm going to curse you to become ashes and dust. Then Gurudev said that Sudarshan Chakra is surrounding, either spinning in one place or traveling around the whole hill. And when the thunderbolts are coming to smash into Govardhan, Sudarshan is breaking them into thousands of pieces. Okay. And this is also a triptych. Radharani went to pick flowers at Kushum Sarovara. Knowing that, Krishna jumped onto the branch and he's holding down the branch by his weight. And then, as soon as she grabbed onto the bunch of flowers,
we don't have that one here.
But Krishna jumps off the branch, Radharani flies up weeping, save me, save me. And then in the third picture, Krishna catches Radharani and she's pushing him away saying, I didn't want you to catch me. You're a debauchee. Okay. This is Jalkali Lila. And then again as a triptych, after that Radharani and her gopis are decorating Krishna with ornaments. This is Dandi Vartan, also the triptych. First is Dan Gati, where Krishna is taxing the gopis. And then this is Dandi Vartan, where the gopis retaliate and they grab Krishna when there's thousands of gopis and just a few coward boys. They box the coward boys' ears. The coward boys are there in the middle lamenting, oh no. The gopis are clapping. The other gopis have grabbed Krishna, put on the sari on him, put the yogurt pot on his head. One of them threw the rock, hit the yogurt pot, the yogurt all spilled all over Krishna. And Krishna's in weeping and anxiety. Radharani smiling as the victor, and the other gopis are laughing and clapping. And then in the next picture, as the triptych, Krishna is apologizing to Radharani. Next. We showed that before. It's not in the right order. But Krishna is apologizing to Radharani, and she's sitting there on the rock, blessing him. Kalyana Bhavatu, Kalyana Bhavatu. Now those same drawings, right here, and you can see the yogurt is dripping from Krishna's hair. If anybody would like to do this, we have all these drawings of Gita Govinda and the Govardhan Leela and the Das Avatars. If anybody would like to take this book and make large Xeroxes, A3 size, that is double the size, then, and bring it back today, we can distribute large drawings like we did in Badger for practically the Xerox price, like maybe 18 drawings or I forget how many, for just like $5 a drawing, also for Navadvip. And then you can have a whole set for your walls or to give out as bar mitzvahs, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, and so on. So if anybody would like to do that, you can see me after the class. Okay, now, this is excuse me. If there are more slides, you can show them. So the more line drawings.
Can I show the wall paintings?
Okay, we'll just show you wall paintings, even though most of them aren't done.
But are they all in this book? All these line drawings?
No, only 12 of them. And then the others are for the Govardhan project. These are some of the wall paintings that are either done or in progress. They're bas reliefs, so they're three-dimensional, almost like sculptures. The coloring isn't good, the lighting isn't good, but we think that Jayadev Goswami, who's here now, will be coming during Kartik time and after that. This is Dan Gati. Krishna is accusing Radha. Who are you who's stealing my flowers? And Radha is saying, what do you mean who I am? You don't know who I am? And Krishna says, if I knew who you were, would I be asking you who you were? You know how boys and girls just like to invent things to talk about just to meet. Here's Lord Nishringadev. This is Korma. The Bow Leela, this one is about 15 feet long. And it would probably be bigger in Navadvipa. Then one devotee had the idea to put jewelry on the bas reliefs. And Gurudev was overwhelmed by that. He said, no Indian sculptor or painter could do this or could have this idea.
Only American can.
Only American Westerners could think of something like this. And then when we showed Gurudev these pictures, they're only half done. He said, this was in Hawaii. As you can see, all these projects go all over the world, trailing after Gurudev. When we showed him these in the computer, he said, there's an Indian artist named Kanai in Vrindavan who won an award from the President of India for his art. He said, but if the President of India would see your pictures, what would he do? He said, so you should make a big book of all your paintings and give a copy to the President of India. So that's underway. This is Holy Leela. This is about 10 feet long. Very beautiful. This is again Dandi Bhartan in 3D. This is one of the better ones of Krishna surrendering and Radharani saying, yes, Kalyana Bhava too, may you be blessed. May you be auspicious. Gurudev loved this one because he always loves when Krishna surrenders to Radha. This is part of the boat pastime. When Krishna rocks the boat and Radharani, Gurudev is laughing about this one.
She is afraid.
She's what?
No, and why is it? Oh, she is afraid.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
So now we're coming to the end. This is called Manani Radha. There's similar mood to this Seva Kunj painting, where Krishna has done some offense. For example, maybe he didn't even do an offense, but he's thinking that Radharani these days, she's so submissive to me. This doesn't give me as much pleasure and it doesn't give her as much pleasure. So I should do something. So he purposely comes late and she's already upset. But then when he sees her, he says, oh Chandra, as though he was going to say, oh, my dear Chandravali, and then he realized it was Radharani, and said instead, oh, Chandravani, which is one of the names of Radha. So, but it was just a play. It was a drama. He really could never have thought of Chandravali when he's with Radhika, but he wanted to get her angry, because he likes that kind of talk. So, then Radharani says, okay, I don't want to have any further relationship with you can go right back to where you came from, to Chandravali. And she was making fun of him that, oh, you look so beautiful. Neil Rohit Rudra you look like. You look like reddish blue Lord Shiva. In some places you have red spots on you, and some places you have black spots on you, because Lord Shiva is like a purplish color. In other words, I know that you got those marks on your face from being with the other gopi. But actually, where he got it was, when he saw Radharani, he became so absorbed in her that he didn't know what to do. He became absorbed in her black eyes, he became absorbed in her red lips, and he got spots on him. But, so she's speaking like this in rejection. He's begging and pleading, and this is Kila Kinchi Dabav, which is a whole bunch of moods together. Smiling and weeping and playing hard to get and flirting and so many things. And Gurudev also, when he saw this, he said, yes, she's in Maan, just like a girl will scratch the floor with her nails when she's angry. And then he said, she looks like a Pukka Brijabasi. And he indicated that he wanted a better Krishna face, and so Krishna became better after that. And then he himself said, the elbow doesn't look finished. You should work more on the elbow. So that even the dimple on the elbow came from him. So he was helping develop this picture, which he said, don't call these pictures. These are all archivigrahas. When I did this painting, so-called I did it, I said to him at the end, Gurudev, generally when I would do the BBT paintings, they would take maybe a month. And in marathon time, when we had to do 17 volumes in 2 months, sometimes they would only take days. But this painting took 5 months. Why was that? He said, because you did the other ones by your will. And with this one, I had to push my will through your will. And therefore, it took so long. He said, this picture came from my heart. This picture came from my heart. Actually, it didn't come from my heart. It came from the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami, because he wrote it. Actually, it didn't come from his heart. It came from Krishna's heart, because he was thinking like this. Actually, it didn't come from Krishna's heart, because his heart is inspired by Radha's heart. So actually, these pictures, particularly the Sevakund, Jagannitha Govinda pictures, Venugit, are all manifestations of the heart of Srila Gurudev. His heart is always in these pastimes, and his spiritual body is always in these pastimes. Okay. Yes, Jayashree? Louder? Actually, about this painting, which also applies to this painting, as we just heard yesterday from Gurudev, there are millions and billions and unlimited pastimes that fit with each painting. So whoever has the Jiklays at your house, whenever you're reading, you'll find so many things that apply, and your meditation increases. In fact, these are perfect pictures for Gayatri meditations as well, and Harinam Japa meditations, and general bhajan meditations. Yes, Prabhu? Loud?
This picture, like, you see, here's the picture of that.
Yes.
But whose idea was that?
Gurudev's idea. When this picture was almost finished, not this past Kartik, but the Kartik before, there was about 600 or 700 devotees. This is part of the movie. 600 or 700 devotees in Kartik at Gopinath Bhavan. And Gurudev asked for the painting, and then he held it up like this. And he said, I want everybody with all of your talents to help with the art department so that more paintings can come out like this. Now, this one, of Radha alone. This was also originally that drawing. And this also has that story in it that I told, which he told, when we were doing the drawing. Over this way?
Yeah.
Okay. And also in Los Angeles, a couple of years ago, he called on Manjari, one of the two Manjari singers, to sing a song from Gopi Geet, from this book. And she sang the song that goes with this painting. And then Gurudev began telling what's happening here. Also, in Gita Govinda, there's a whole chapter about what Radharani is thinking and what Radharani is telling her Sakhi at this time. So on one hand, she's saying that, why did I reject Krishna who came to me weeping? Now what's the use of my life? And you'll find in Gita Govinda that whole chapter where Krishna didn't come. He didn't come because he was stunned weeping in separation from her. But she's telling her Sakhi that he's probably with another gopi now, and then she begins describing what Krishna is doing with the other gopi. But that other gopi is really her, because it's going on in her mind. If I start criticizing anyone, oh, so-and-so, did you hear what so-and-so did with such-and-such, or what so-and-so did with so-and-so, or what so-and-so did, or what so-and-so is like? Can you imagine what bad qualities they have? If I'm doing that, then that whole batch of qualities and sinful activities are entering my consciousness, and it's entering my existence, and it's becoming me. And I'll become that, either in the next week, or the next month, or the next minute, or the next lifetime. Like Gurudev said, don't see any posters, because the impression of what's happening on that big sensual advertisement poster goes in your heart by having the emotions. And then it can remain with you. What to speak of a movie or a TV show? It can remain with you for millions of births. Similarly, criticism goes into us and becomes us. Or when kids play those violent games, video games, then it becomes them. Then they go to school and shoot all their classmates and teacher, and then you read about it in the newspapers. Because it actually becomes us. So, I forgot why I said that. What was the beginning? Right. So she's thinking in that way, thinking, and it actually becomes her remembrance of the past times that she and Krishna did in the past. And because she and Krishna are both absolute, it's actually that rapture is actually happening at the moment. So actually she's bringing Krishna there, and they're doing that at the moment while she's like this. Separation and meeting goes on forever increasing in the spiritual world, and they go on simultaneously. Okay, next, because time is getting short. Yes, Guru. Louder? Yes. Yes, he told us different colors for different meanings. It's dark because it's Radha Kund. This pastime can take place in her Kunj, and it can take place in Radha Kund. Gurudev said for the line drawings, when we were doing the line drawings, that they all take place around Radha Kund in midday. So therefore we put the same time of day and place into the paintings.
Also noticed that a lot of the paintings by Gurudev Mercy, you see Srimati Radharani's feet,
well, he guided us through the whole thing. He didn't particularly say showing the feet will give the mercy. But it started with this, when he told us to particularly show the feet for a particular reason. And then we just kept going with it. The reason is that Radharani is angry with Krishna, and Krishna is pleading and begging, saying, look, what more can I give you? I put my prized possession, which controls all the gopis, at your feet. My flute. I'm surrendering my whole self. What else can I do to convince you that I'm sincere, that you should forgive me and place your lotus feet on my head? So she said, okay, I'll forgive you, but you have to paint my feet. So this was exactly what Krishna was wanting. So he started to paint her feet, but he's thinking, what kind of design am I going to make? I know, I'll write my name on her feet, because even if we don't realize it, and so we chant Namavarat, Krishna's not like us. He knows that Nam and Nami are one. My name and me are the same. So if I put my name at her feet, then I'll always remain at her lotus feet. But then as soon as he touches her with his brush, peacock feather brush or any other kind of brush that the mandris and sakis make, immediately, because her feet are made of the highest Madanakya Mahabhav Prem, his heart starts trembling, and so his hand starts trembling, and he can't exactly write his name because he's like this. So what comes out is, Gurudev said, make it like an art. You can imagine, he said, if Krishna's in ecstatic rapture trance, ecstasy, You can imagine, and he's trying to write his name, his own name, which is not different from him, who's in ecstasy. You can imagine what kind of art that would be. So we made his name in Hindi, Sanskrit letters, and that. And if you get close to it, you can see his name there with a little design element. So that's why her feet are there. And he even gave us a Xerox drawing from an Indian in a drawing book of pictures of Radharani's hand. And he said to paint some of the markings that were in that drawing, but not all of them. He said it shouldn't be congested on her hand. So we did that too. Yes, Jayashree?
If you're
not with me, generally, for general audiences, Radharani's feet aren't shown. But during on Radhastami and other occasions, they may be shown.
And when you, I mean, I don't know if you see them, but do they have any kind of markings or, you know, something significant on it, or is it just...
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
In scripture, they show she has markings.
Under her feet, but you wouldn't see that if the deity was being shown, because her foot's on the ground. Oh, by the way, Gurudev said on two occasions that he likes this one of Radha and Man even better than he likes this one. This one, the second one here, is the same millions of pastimes, same move, but he likes that one even better. Now this one, I'm sorry, maybe this one we should show the original. Okay, we'll show this one, because it's original. And how these all became to be jikles was that Kulukshekhar Prabhu, I don't know if he's here anymore, he was writing us for years that don't make cheap posters. I know a place where you can get posters or prints made that look just like the painting. So then it happened to be in Houston. So last year when we were in Houston, Gurudev was at Vinodiniji's house, and this picture was half done. And we showed it to Gurudev, and he was just expressing emotional happiness over it. And we showed him the jikle of it also, and he said, yes, do jikles. And that's when we started planning to do all of them. And here, as I mentioned with the line drawing, Krishna is saying, Radharani, I see you have two big heavy pots, can I help you with one? She's saying no. Now this also has a whole chapter in this Gita Govinda. And in Gita Govinda, it's presented in a little bit different way. That is, the caption under it is that Krishna is saying, Radharani left in a huff because when she saw me with so many gopis surrounding me, I was so overwhelmed and shocked that she became angry and left, that I couldn't even figure out what to say to pacify her so that she wouldn't leave. So now she's left in a huff. Krishna left all the other billions of gopis, and now he's wandering through the forest looking for her, lamenting and pining and praying. And then she begins to manifest to him as spurtis. You know, like somebody in Bhav Bhakti, he starts getting spurtis, that is temporary, momentary visions of Radha and Krishna. So Krishna is also, these spurtis have come in, of Radharani in various pastimes that he had with her. And then they would disappear. And then he would fall apart and weep. And then they would come to him. And he would be happy. And at the same time he would be happy because separation and meeting is side by side in this case as well. He's saying, so now I'm seeing you and you're here and you're everywhere. And everywhere I look, all I can see is you. just like Sati, when she was trying to test Ram, and she took the form of Sita, and Ram kept ignoring her. And then Ram finally said to her, "Oh, Sati, what are you doing here in the forest without your husband?" Then she realized that this is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she immediately fell at his feet in great remorse. And when she got up again, she looked and saw that Sita Ram, nothing but Sita Ram existed. They were in every leaf, every atom of the air, every tree. And then when she bowed down again and looked up again Ram was saying, Ha Sita, where are you? Just like in his Naravat or human-like pastimes. So, forgot why I mentioned that. So similarly, Krishna is seeing Radha everywhere. Everywhere he looks, he can only see Radha. At the same time, he's experiencing separation, grievous separation. If you're here, if you're everywhere, why aren't you embracing me? And then fully, a whole pastime is manifest. So this is one of those pastimes that are manifesting to Krishna in his separation. And just like the gopis in Venugite, who they're in their home, but they're so absorbed and merged in Krishna's remembrance that they ended up in the forest. Now Krishna is so much merged in separation from Radharani that he's being stunned, and Radharani's appearing, and he's entering into that pastime in his separation but experiencing the meeting. And meanwhile, Radharani over there is thinking, oh, he's with another girl, and that's why he's not coming to meet me. Yes? Loud? This one. One occasion was when I first showed it to him when it was practically done. And when he said, What have you done? And then he said, yes, she's scratching with her nails. At that time. Oh no, that was another time. Another time we showed it to him when it was a little less finished in Mathura, in his room in Mathura. This time we said, what have you done, was in Vrindavan. And in Mathura he said, I want a big one of this in our Govardhan temple. And he said, I like this better than the Sri Ganesh. Then just a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago in Badger, devotee named Nanda Gopal Prabhu, who has a framing business, he's also here now, and he just got a cheap poster of this, which they also have for those who are poor or want to get 15 of them for their friends. He took one of those posters that he had gotten in Hawaii, and he framed it in such a beautiful way, I can't even describe in words. Do you have it on your computer? We took a picture of that. Huh? We took a picture of Nanda Gopal's house on digital. Was it you, Anita? Oh. And it made the painting look 10 times better, if you can imagine it. So then when Gurudev did the Anakut festival in front of Nanda Gopal's house, then every year he goes into Nanda Gopal's house, they do arti for Nanda Gopal Prabhu's deities, and then he came to the wall, and Nanda Gopal showed him how he framed it. And Gurudev said, yes, this is best, it is better than even the state of Kunj. So those different times. So I think that's the end. Oh, no, it's not the end. I have to show the Bhagavad Gita painting for the Bhagavad Gita cover that Gurudev posed for. And, So, when Gurudev was telling me about making the Bhagavad Gita paintings, he posed for Krishna. He posed for Krishna, and he posed for Arjun, and believe it or not, he posed for the horses. In fact, he posed for the horses at least 8 times, because I could never get them right. He kept saying, ears up. And he even made the face. He said, no, you have to show the teeth. And he even made that face. And the horse is just ready to go, saying, stop talking, Krishna. It's time to go and fight. And you also told me that the insides of these horses' ears, because they're not ordinary horses, they're celestial horses of Krishna, and therefore they have sham colored inside their ears. So just to show that he posed for that. And also for the picture all the way at the end of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is giving Divya Drishti, or transcendental knowledge, to Sanjay, so that Sanjay can speak the Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra. And Gurudev was saying how the rays or the beams of transcendental knowledge is coming from the glands of Srila Vyasadeva into the heart of Sri Sanjaya. Yes, that one. And Gurudev was also correcting me on Vyasadeva. No, he should look more solid, more this way, more that way. So everything was done under Gurudev's guidance. So in the same way, we get transcendental knowledge not by our own endeavor. We must endeavor and surrender to Guru through bhajan, through preaching, through giving everything that we have. But at the same time, that's not going to buy bhakti. Bhakti comes by the glands, bhakti comes by the touch, and bhakti comes by the words. Now you can have bhakti. Now bhakti is yours, and then it's there. Also the prey matters. Sometimes before I knew any Hindi, Gurudev would speak Hindi, and I would just get bored and not want to be there. So then I once asked him, wouldn't it be better, here you are in Mathura speaking Hindi, wouldn't it be better if I just was in my room in Vrindavan listening to your English tapes so that I could understand it? He said, no, it's better to hear in Hindi when you don't understand it than to hear English away, because the prema atoms are coming out of the body when I talk, or any pure devotee talks. And from the glands is coming Shabda Brahman into the heart and into the body. So similarly, Srila Vyasadeva is giving that vision and realization, so that when he was speaking to Dhritarashtra in the last painting, Sanjaya was able to see what was going on in the battlefield of Kurukshetra with Krishna and Arjuna, though it was 90 miles away. And Gurudev said similarly with Venugit, the gopis were able to see what was happening with Krishna and his associates and animals and birds and peacocks in the forest, though it was far away, because of their bhava netra, the eyes of their emotion, because they're much more powerful yogis than Sanjaya. So we'll end here. Ask if there's any final question. Yes? Oh yes, that's a good question. Do we paint in oils? Because I told you that 6 years ago, Gurudev told me to stop painting forever, that it would destroy me. And then 3 years ago, he told me to start painting again. It's a rope, it's a snake. So just at that time, when we were looking for paints, we found that a new paint is on the market called water-based oils, which aren't poisonous. So that's what we use, water-based oils. Yes? No, we use water, and it does the same thing. You can use turpentine because it's interchangeable, but we use water. Any last question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudeva ki jai, Gopinandi, Hari Bol.
Thank you. I don't know, ask Mr. Shambar which one it is. Not the page. I guess they see it here. The Transcendental Man of White.
One of the things that you got to be conscious of when you're doing this is that the slide projector is always usually some distance from you, so if kids are running around, they're much more likely to catch the wires, and if they pull it down, it could wreck it. So you have to be pretty ruthless with kids.
I'm about ready to be ruthless with kids.
Oh yeah, the little horrors. Most of them. And see things like this. Remember what I was saying over in the house about keeping these cool? Just sit it on top of something like that. I feel how hot it is. I feel that one. Feel the difference. Just keep the air moving around them.
So what's it? Thank you.